saying thank you for allowing me to be your intern this summer. It's been a privilege and an honor to serve each one of you in this capacity, whether it be presiding or praying, working with Dwayne and Pastor Willis and Beverly in the office. Pastor Willis, Dwayne, appreciate you guys taking on Dwayne's mentoring me, working with me, growing, and knowing how pastors really appreciate it. Finally, Pastor Will, thank you for this opportunity to preach the word this morning. I'm grateful for you. So, do you remember the last meal that you had that was extremely satisfying? Maybe for you it was your favorite meal. Or maybe the last meal you had with your grandkids and children before you were all together. Maybe it was a meal that you didn't have to prepare, so you just went out to eat and got to just enjoy it. Maybe it was Thanksgiving, and even though you were so full you couldn't eat another bite, you still made room for 2 pieces of pie. As satisfied as you were in that moment, that satisfaction eventually went away. And you either need to eat again later or the next morning. Or if it's Thanksgiving, maybe you're like me and go back to leftovers later that afternoon. In fact, sometimes if I see we're running low on something, I'll skip seconds of it to save it for leftovers later. We can turn to other things for satisfaction as well, like family, friends, serving in the church, or the Cubs winning the World Series. Sometimes those things are good things, even beneficial and necessary to our lives. So the question is, where do you look for satisfaction? In our passage today, we'll see that the Lord, our shepherd host, truly satisfies us. Our passage today is Psalm 23, which can be found in 862 of the Pew Bibles. Once you've found Psalm 23, you'll see that the heading of your Bible says it's a Psalm of David, meaning that David wrote the Psalm after he had been called into the shepherd's field as a boy to be anointed Israel's next king by the prophet Samuel. David was then selected by the current king of Israel, King Saul, to soothe him with David's heart plan. As David continued to grow, he became a successful commander in Saul's army, which causes Saul to become jealous and tries to kill David multiple times. During his reign, when David became king, he committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband, which results in God telling David that strife will never leave his household. As a part of that strife, one of David's own sons, Absalom, attempts to take the kingdom from him, forcing David to flee. And this is the situation we find David in when he writes this psalm, Psalm 23. As you can tell from my quick summary of David's life, David is writing after a season of life where he's been walking with the Lord for some time and has experienced finding his satisfaction in the Lord. So Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Gracious and merciful God Almighty, thank you for allowing us to gather this morning. Ask that you, Lord, would quicken my words with your Holy Spirit to challenge, convict, provide peace and encouragement to your people in this morning, that we may know you better, for your name's sake, and your glory. Amen. So where do you seek satisfaction? That's the question we're going to try to answer this morning. In our Bibles, Psalm 23 comes right after Psalm 22. Maybe you're thinking, ah, yes, thank you, intern. Psalm 23 comes after 22. Very good. Sure. But seriously, Psalm 22 was written also by David. And David here is talking about Christ's coming crucifixion, which through the Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, he has created a way for us to re-enter a right relationship with God. Then David starts in Psalm 23 with, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's talking about and describing his relationship with God in this analogy of the shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd. And for us, that analogy is a little bit out of date, as we don't see shepherds roaming with their flocks throughout the streets of Chicago. However, in David's time, shepherds were commonplace. In fact, 1 Samuel 16:11 says that David himself was a shepherd when he was a young boy, as Jesse had called him in from the field to be anointed by Samuel as the next king of Israel. Now, the shepherds stayed with the sheep 24/7. They knew them very intimately, knew their needs, including food, water, and protection. Unlike most farmers today, who tend their livestock out in pasture and just let them go for most of the day. They don't know their sheep. So I got to show sheep at a local county fair back in Michigan for 2 years during high school. Each summer, I got to choose the sheep that I would later be showing when they were very young. Now, this sounds like a good thing, but the problem was I had no clue what a good sheep, what a healthy sheep, looked like. Either way, I chose my sheep, and as the summer progressed, I literally spent hours each week working, walking, catching, shearing, bathing this sheep. So while I spent a lot of time with the sheep, I didn't spend near 24/7 time with the sheep. And I didn't know it like these shepherds were. And I had one, not a whole flock that these shepherds did. So this analogy of the Lord is our shepherd shows that the Lord is present with us, and He knows us. He knows our needs, which is where David goes next. He said, "I shall not be in want." This is communicating to us the idea of having all that we need. Our shepherd knows us well, so He knows what we need, and He provides us with what we need. And you may be thinking, well, sure, that's easy for King David to say. David was a king. He had everything he ever needed or wanted. This can be true. However, this can be true for anyone, whether they're like King David and have been blessed with a lot or been blessed with a little. As Christians, we have the presence of God dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit, and that is what we need the most. It is in God that we can find the true satisfaction that we're looking for. So the Lord our shepherd satisfies us with rest. In verse 2, David says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and He restores my soul." So David's saying that there's a physical and spiritual aspect to the rest that the Lord our shepherd provides for us. First, David says within the analogy that the Lord made him lie down in green pastures. This would be a refreshment and rest, physical rest, for the sheep. And He leads them beside quiet waters, which allows them to be hydrated, as all of us need as well, and also be refreshing. However, the shepherd in David's day needed to know when the sheep would need this, because he had to go find that. The shepherd had to go find water and food for the sheep. He didn't have a trough. He didn't have a grocery store that he could just go buy sheep food. And he didn't have a hose to just fill a trough with water. And he definitely didn't have time to get a well. So an example from Homeward Bound, where two cats and a dog leave their pet sitter and try to find their way home, meaning they're on their own for their own food, water, and protection. After they've spent a night in the woods, one of the dogs and the cat are waking up when Shadow, the other dog, and kind of the leader, trots up and tells them that he's found their breakfast. Turns out Shadow had gotten up early and gone and found fish for them to eat. Yes, they had to catch it. But Shadow and Bobby knew what a shepherd would do for the sheep. So that's the physical aspect of the rest that the Lord provides us with. But now the spiritual aspect. David's choice of words for quiet water can mean quiet water, or it can be referring to spiritual rest, meaning our salvation. Then David says, "The Lord our shepherd restores his soul." Speaking about the restorative rest of salvation, which is our ultimate rest, which we can only receive from God. So that you receive this spiritual rest of salvation. Today can be that day if you repent and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. He's died on the cross and he rose again to save all of us from our sins. In verse 3, David says that the Lord our shepherd guides us. Verse 3 says, He guides me on paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, I've already talked about how the Lord, the shepherd, guides the sheep to the physical rest and refreshment of food and water. But the Lord also guides us on paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness means that the Lord is guiding us in ways that are morally good and ultimately for our benefit. The Lord has given us His Word and His Holy Spirit to convict us when we are living out of line with His standards. Especially as we look towards communion today, don't ever let sin go unconfessed. While we have been completely forgiven of all of our sins as believers through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, if we continue to walk in sin, we cannot enjoy the intimate fellowship with the Lord our shepherd. Sin is one of the many places that we look to find satisfaction. Sin promises us everything, and yet leaves us wanting more. Hence, it is for our benefit the Lord our shepherd leads us on paths of righteousness. But the Lord doesn't just do this for us. The reason He does this is in the next line. He says, for His name's sake. Since we exist to love God and to bring Him glory, everything we do should be done with this goal of loving Him and bringing Him the glory that is rightfully His. Not only that, but Christ bought us with His blood, shed on the cross. He put His name on us. Hence we are called Christians, or Christ followers. Since we represent Christ, He wants to guide us in ways that will lead to honor to His name. David continues on in verse 4, saying that the Lord our shepherd protects us. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For a shepherd in David's time, they would have to lead the flock through valleys on occasion. These valleys would be filled with increased dangers like darkness, predators, bandits, flash floods, and ultimately death. The NIV study Bible describes the valley like this. The type of valley in view here is the deep, rocky wadi, a dry stream bed carved by rushing waters in the spring, but dark and forbidding for most of the year. Now, there are two ways to look at this valley. First, it can be literally taken as walking through the shadow of death, as in actually dying. When you're walking through death, Christ is the only one who can shepherd someone through that. No other person can go with you. Or, secondly, Christ's presence drives away the fear of all the other dangers that the valley can inflict as you pass through. So either way, we take this meaning that it is Christ's presence that ultimately is the antidote for any fear of passing through the valley. So David gives two reasons not to fear. First, as I've already said, you are with me. Christ's presence goes with us. And second, your rod and your staff, they comfort him. Now, the shepherd carried the rod for protective purposes against predators and bandits, and the staff was for guiding the sheep. As a shepherd, David would have been very familiar with both of these tools and found comfort in the Lord our shepherd, both having them and using them. So are you fearing evil or harm to you? If you are a Christian, you have Christ's presence and the Holy Spirit in you. And you can find content and comfort in the Lord our shepherd. So where is your satisfaction found? In verse 5, David makes a transition from the Lord being our shepherd to the Lord not being our host. Verse 5, David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now this host analogy brings us deeper in intimacy with God than the shepherd analogy did. We can see the host analogy being shown in preparing a table. The Lord our host has set a table and prepared a meal for us and invited us in to be his guests. In the presence of my enemies, due to the fact that the enemies have been subdued, then they cannot change anything that's taken place. They're powerless. However, one commentary said that if a host provided an enemy with a meal, he was secure in that host home until he left. Which is very comforting to think about us being God's enemies, Christ's enemies, when we were walking in sin, but now have been invited in, and we are now secure in him because of him. And David said, the Lord is host anoints his head with oil. Imagine that David had the day that Samuel anointed him with oil in mind as he wrote this out. Anointing a guest's head with oil seems odd to us, but it appears to be part of the Jewish culture and showing hospitality. In Luke 7, 36 through 50, Jesus is invited into a guest home, into a home as the guest of a Pharisee. While there, he was anointed by a sinful woman who had been forgiven for sins. Luke 7, 46 says, you did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. This shows that the Pharisee did not properly host Jesus according to Jewish culture. The enemy said about it was that anointing a guest's head with oil was for honor. David goes on to say, my cup overflows. When he speaks of the abundance and the Lord our host's generosity. The picture that David gives us here is a well-hosted meal, which leaves him satisfied with him. Now, the best example that I can think of that represents this for me actually happened this summer. As most of you know, my birthday fell on Sunday, June 11th. I was here at church for the cookout, and long story short, I was still here late in the evening. And wound up shooting hoops with Pastor Will driving. Pastor Will spontaneously invited me to stay to celebrate my birthday, which was extremely a huge blessing for me, and an encouragement to be able to spend my birthday with my family who was back home in Michigan. Now, I don't say this to make you jealous because I extended it to Pastor Will. But to say that the Lord our host knows what we need, namely himself, and wants to satisfy us in his presence. David then goes on to say, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. The word David used for love means a sacrificial and covenantal love, harking back to God's covenant with both David himself and also Abraham. The word to follow brings with it connotation of pursuit, meaning the goodness of love will not just follow David like a well-trained dog, but it will pursue David after. And then David concludes with, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This not only concludes the psalm, but it also completes the analogy of the words of others. There's quite a bit of discussion among scholars as to whether forever means to the rest of David's life here on earth, or if it really means forever. I think it means forever in the literal sense of the term, because we will have access to the Lord forever, since we will be dwelling in his house and enjoying his presence forever. So the Lord, our shepherd host, satisfies us. Are we confidently content in the Lord, our shepherd host? We can be confident because of what Christ has done on the cross to reconcile us with himself, and our salvation rests upon that finished work. We can be content and satisfied because we can now live in Christ's presence because of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, grateful for your word and the privilege of being able to share with my brothers and sisters. I ask that you would use it to bless and encourage. Would challenge us to be more satisfied as we go forward into this week. To you, the Lord, in Jesus' name.